those days so bad, I'm not beyond the reach of God's grace. And even if I'm having wonderful time, good days, I still need the grace of God. James shared with us last Wednesday that when God's glory comes with grace, full of grace and truth. Grace for each one of us. If you need it, you're not beyond the reach of God's grace. If you're going through wonderful time, you still need the grace of God. You still need the truth that will set you free. That kind of love that fights for me, that kind of grace that God wants to pour over us is here today. So I want you to pray for yourself. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your truth that will set me free from guilt, from shame, from brokenness. And not only that, but pray for someone else. Lord, I pray for someone that comes today that they think that they are beyond the reach of God's grace. I pray, Lord, for a revelation of your grace today for each one of us. I pray for the grace of God to fill this place, Lord, that we feel free to come into your presence, into your holy place, and worship you and praise you. Our situation is not bad enough that we are beyond the grace of God. Our situations are not bad enough that we are beyond the reach of God's grace. Believe me, His grace is enough. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that you show up when we need you. You show up when we need the grace, and you fill us with grace and mercy and love. I pray for each one of us today. I pray for each one that will sit in this church today. And not even with the people that they didn't come, they didn't make it today. I pray for the grace of God, the truth of God, the glory of God, the presence of God to fill their life with grace and truth. I pray, Lord, for the faith to rise today. Faith in your grace and truth that will set us free to worship and to praise you from all our heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, we're going to start a time of worship. Can we all stand, please?
Open our eyes, Lord, let us see all that you are, all that you mean. Open our ears, Lord, let us see all that you are, be loud and clear. Please be near. And as our praises rise, may your presence fall. Heaven fall down. Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down. Come, Jesus, come like the wind. Fill up this place, welcome you in. Jesus, come, come like the rain. Open the sky, show us your face. Oh Lord, we wait. And as our praises rise, may your presence fall in heaven, heaven fall down. The Spirit, Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down, heaven, heaven. Heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down. Crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you. We're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you. Crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you. One more time. We're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you. Heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down. One more time, heaven. Heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit. Pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down. Thank you. your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And great are you, Lord. Great are you,
your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Great are you.
our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we sing in grace. Are you singing great, are you Lord? Yeah, one more time. Singing great, are you
sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you. Breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. And you shoulder weakness, your strength becomes our own. Now you're making me like you, you're clothing me in white. Of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, known by her true name, and that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will
praise you no matter what we're going through, because you're always good, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your love, God, that we'll never not be able to spend time with you, to be with you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will bless this meeting, that you would bless our hearts, give us peace, give us joy, Lord, and allow us to have a new understanding of who you are this morning. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, your name I pray.
Morning. God bless you. Everybody happy this morning? Are you guys upset you lost an hour of sleep? I'll be happy. You'll get it back in the fall. Don't worry. We're going to go over some announcements. Wednesday nights, we have our youth group. We have our Bible study. I just want to touch on this a little bit, if I may. There's two things I want to point out for our youth group. Number one is this. We have prayer requests. You guys have probably seen them in the back. And I don't know if you've seen them. Maybe you wrote somebody's number on it, or you use it for scratch paper. But what we're starting to do on Wednesdays is we're getting together with the young people. Us young people are getting together, and we're praying, and we're lifting up different needs, different people, different family member situations, whatever it is. We're getting together on Wednesday, and we're praying. I know there's prayer going on with the adults, but there's also prayer going on with us young people, and we're lifting up different things in prayer. So back there, you'll find a box. It is a state-of-the-art shoe box. And if you have a prayer request, fill it out, put it in the box, and I just want to let you know that there's people praying in agreement with you, believing that the hand of God, which is what we're believing for, the hand of God is going to move, not just here in our lives, but out there. Amen. Other people's lives in the community. So prayer requests. And then one more thing about the youth. They drive me crazy. No. Sorry, wrong setting. For the last couple weeks, we've been trying to figure out and vote on a name for the youth group. Okay? And after many, many weeks of deliberation and back and forth and fights and chairs thrown, we came up on a name. The name of the youth group is Chosen. Yes. Chosen Youth Group. And it is based on Philip's message, when you choose, you lose. I paid attention. But it's off of 1 Peter 2:9, and I'm just going to read it real quick. And it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Amen? The goal is to let them know that there's a God that loves them, that there's a God that wants to have a relationship with them, and a God that wants to bless them. But the blessing is not just for them, but those they encounter, those that are out there, and there's a family, a greater family that's out there that the Lord will be bringing in. Amen? So Chosen Youth Group, and not my other option, which was Mike's team. That one lost. I lost. But Chosen. That one didn't happen. Also, other announcements. I don't know if they're coming up, but there's the offering box in the back. In the back by the wall. I just encourage you guys, if you're giving to the Lord, giving to the ministry, God bless you. If you're thinking about it, if you haven't, I encourage you. Amen. It comes with a blessing. God wants to bless your 90% when you put God first. Right? This is blessing and curses. The Bible talks about in Malachi. But in Luke chapter 6, 38, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you a good measure." Right? Somebody say, "Good measure." A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not just for you, but for all others. Running over. And it says, "For the measure that you use shall be used unto you." Right? So I encourage you, continue to give to the ministry. Pastor Al doesn't need it. Right? The ministry, God will take care of it, but it's for you. Right? It's for you. Right? He wants to bless you. And he says in Malachi once again, this is the only part where it says, "Trust, test me in this." Right? "And see if I don't pour out a blessing, rebuke the devourer." Right, so I encourage you guys, wherever you're at in this, right, give to the Lord. Amen. He blesses with everything. Every good gift is from above, and we're only giving back a small portion. that he may bless the rest. Amen? Any other ones? Good.
Are you awake now? If you were asleep, now you're awake. Sorry about that. How's everyone today? Praise God. Praise God. Welcome. Welcome to Arise. And if it's your first time here, welcome. Thank you for visiting us. Pleasure having you guys here. Awesome. Awesome. This morning we're in John chapter 14. John 14. We're actually verses 22 to 31, but I'm going to go back a few verses to verse 15. So John 14, beginning at verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. We'll read it, then we'll pray, and then we'll begin. From the New King James, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, if you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for your promise, Lord God, that where we gather together in your name, here you are in our midst. And so we honor you with us. And Holy Spirit, we honor your presence among us. We ask that you would teach us, because we come leaning heavily upon you as the one who communicates, and as those that hear, we all rely completely and only on you, Lord God, that you administer to our hearts in a way that only you can, and bring out the truth and reveal it in such a way where it's applicable to our lives. Give us a freshness from your word. Break bread with us this morning as you did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Give us to glean from your presence. We need you. We trust you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everyone doing well? Oh, Sunday school. Yes, you're dismissed. Everyone doing well? I'm still waiting for a response. Yes, all right, good. So, in chapters 13 through 17, it records the night before the cross, which is Thursday night. Jesus will be tried. He's going to go through 6 mock trials in the matter of a few short hours, and he'll be hung on the cross. And Jesus has been with his disciples now for some 3+ years, and day and night they have watched him, and he has become their world. He has become their everything. Now he's leaving, and they are in turmoil, and so during supper, he gives them his final thoughts. And when you know that your time on earth is about to expire, what you say next are probably the most important words that will ever come out of your mouth, especially as you're speaking to those that are closest closest to you. And so he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And he begins with the final truth of heaven being your home. He begins chapter 14, or John begins chapter 14 by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or houses. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so with the backdrop of heaven, with eternity there as the backdrop, Jesus begins to speak these incredible promises to his disciples. And so they can experience a little bit of heaven here on earth. What's that? He wants to bring a little bit of heaven right here on earth. Some people are saying, I can't wait until we get to heaven. It's going to be glorious and all this will be done. Do you know that part of our inheritance as children of God is that God wants us to begin to experience a little bit of heaven here and now, by way of his purpose, by way of his presence, by way of knowing with clarity why we are here and what our function is? We can have a little bit of that here on this earth. And with that said, what they are about to endure, however, is anything but like heaven. It is probably the exact opposite. And that's typically how it kind of works in our lives as we go. We may receive a promise of some great plans and wonderful promises. However, what we tend to experience is quite the opposite. You receive a promise from the Lord about how grand things are going to be and how big his promises are. And as soon as you step away from that setting, what you begin to realize is things look a little the opposite of what I was just promised. Is that just me? Restoration, my friends, it's on its way. The power and the purpose and the clarity are on their way. And so beginning here in verse 22, it tells us, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? This is not Judas Iscariot, but this is another disciple named Judas. And Matthew 10:13 tells us that his name also, he goes by a name of Thaddeus. And this is the only time where anything is mentioned of him saying anything. And he's not understanding what the Lord is saying, because the disciples are thinking that Jesus will come and reign as king and do something amazing. He's going to deliver them and set them free from the bondage, because they were under the oppression at that time of a kingdom. Anyone know what that kingdom is? Rome. Under the kingdom of Rome. And so they thought that Messiah was going to come and deliver them, but they didn't understand that Jesus is setting them free from something even greater than the oppression of Rome. There's a much deeper, more sinister enemy, and its name is sin. Its name is sin. And he doesn't rebuke them for not understanding. He simply and gently explains again and again. He's so kind and he's so gracious. And this morning I'd like to share with you along the signs of three gifts that he gives to his disciples from this particular text. Are you ready this morning? I am so not convinced, but that's okay. First is love, and then we'll see help, and then finally peace. And it's amazing, although not surprising, that some of the worship that was being expressed this morning happens to go along the line exactly with what's happening here along the message. Let's begin with the first one, which is love. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. And so Jesus here addresses Judas's question with, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He will keep my word. And right away, somebody might ask, how is loving God a gift from God? How is my loving God a gift from him? If we said God's giving us at least three gifts, there are more, obviously, but there's at least three here, the first of which is love. How is my love for him a gift for me? Primarily, 1 John 4:19 gives us the answer that we love God because he first loved us. It's just a reciprocation. It's a reflection. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. And secondly, in loving God, we are the ones who benefit. What's that? In loving God, we are the ones who benefit. In our human relationships, if somebody loves you, you are the recipient of that love, and you are the beneficiary, and you're the one who benefits from that love. But in our relationship with God, as we express love to God, God is not the beneficiary. We are, because we can't add anything to him. He doesn't need me to add anything to him, but we are the ones, by posturing our heart and by directing our devotion to him, we are the ones that are changed, and we are the ones that need to love him. And so when he says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, that's not something that he needs. He's not saying, I need you to love me. I'm feeling a little lonely up here in heaven. I'm tired of the angels singing. I want to hear. No. That's not God's perspective at all. He doesn't need anything from anyone because he is complete in and of himself. But he's saying it's good for you. It is good for you. And anything and everything God commands us to do, any commandment, Old Testament or New Testament, that he gives us is always for our benefit. When God says, do this, it's not because he needs something from you or from me. When he says, do this, it's always for our benefit. So in loving God, we discover the most amazing, the most caring, the most selfless, the most compassionate person in the universe. And we realize that he is more than a king and we are his subjects. We realize that he is more than the shepherd and we are his sheep. We realize that he is more than a father and we are his children. We realize that he's actually the groom. What's that? And we are his bride. These different dynamics that Scripture talks to us about, and one of them happens to be that he is the groom and we are the bride. And this is filled throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm just going to share one passage with you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. The Apostle Paul is writing, saying, I'm as protective of you as God is. After all, you are a virgin whom I promised in marriage to one man, and his name is Christ, Jesus. So this engagement then, this engagement is exclusive. It's not an open relationship. Our engagement, anybody heard of open relationships? Don't. It's terrible. But this means it's an exclusive one-on-one kind of a relationship. It is real love. It's where we have the Lord's undivided attention, a longing to be with him and to spend time one with the other. And if a person truly loves the Lord, he will obey his commandments. And the proof of our love is always in our obedience. The proof of our love is always in our obedience. He goes on to say, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. And Jesus here is saying that we will experience the love of the Father in a real way. We'll begin to grasp the reality of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit taking up residence on the inside of us. And if we want to experience this truth, here are the biblical simple steps. I hope that's clear. First is hearing. Hearing. I am hearing what God is saying. I am listening by way of reading or listening or studying to the Word of God. Secondly, I am choosing to believe. I am choosing to believe what the Scripture is saying because belief is a choice. Believe is a choice. Thirdly, I am obeying the Scriptures. Whatever God is saying for me to do, I am walking in obedience. And when that happens, it brings about a revelation or the ability to see. I am seeing something that I haven't been able to see before. I am experiencing something, not with my physical eyes, not in the natural, tangible sense, but with the eyes of my heart. I become illumined on the inside. A revelation takes place on the inside where I can see. And this revelation increases over time because our God is limitless. Our God is limitless. He is an ocean that can cross. So if you are satisfied in your relationship with God right now, I pray for you. I pray that God would increase your hunger and thirst for him, because if you are content where you are in the Lord at this moment, it's a good chance that you are backslidden and you don't even know it. Because the more you love him, the more in love you want to fall in love with him. Does that make sense? The more you get to know someone who's just incredible, who's just amazing, who's just profound, who's just so loving and giving and compassionate, the more you want to spend time with this person. If I am content where I am in my walk with the Lord right now, I am in a backslidden state and I may not even be aware of it. May God give us that hunger and give us that thirst to pursue him and to continue to pursue him, that we can get to the end of our life, just like the Apostle Paul, who would say towards the end of his ministry, I want to know him. I want to experience more of him. I want to be identified with him, and not just the good things. I'm not just looking for blessings. I want the full experience of who he is, to be even identified with his sufferings. What? Oh, because I've tasted. It's from the place of suffering that blessings flow. What? Paul, are you crazy? Nobody likes to suffer. He's saying, I've experienced something. It's from the struggling place. It's from the tight place, it's from the hard place that blessings begin to come and begin to flow. You and I are trying to run away from problems and from difficulties, and if we're the ones that have created these difficulties, I can understand why. But if we find ourselves in that place where things are tight, things are difficult, things are challenging, and it's not the result of our sowing and reaping, then we need to begin to rejoice because God is trusting us. Maybe it's a little too soon in the message, I don't know. God is trusting us with the ability to pass the test that He is bringing our way. Somebody say amen. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. A person cannot walk in disobedience to Jesus and love the Lord. We cannot be walking in disobedience to Him and loving Him at the same time. That is impossible. So this should prompt the question then, what is the Lord commanding us, commanding me, commanding you to do? And we find that out through our reading and through our study of the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is the primary way that we meet with the Lord. The Scriptures are the primary way that we meet with the Lord. He reveals Himself through Scripture. This is where we grow in our faith. One commentator says, we can't pick and choose which commands we obey based on our individual preferences. We all tend to do this. You may pride yourself that you don't drink, while at the same time you tolerate your own sins of grumbling and complaining, murmuring and gossiping. What? That's not as bad as drinking. In God's eyes, it is. From God's perspective, it absolutely is. But Jesus didn't say, keep my commandments that fit your preferences. He simply said, keep my commandments. I don't get to pick and choose which of the chapters, which of the scriptures, which of the commandments I get to keep. You have to keep all of them. Because to fall short of one is to fall short of all. If I'm guilty of one, I'm guilty of all. And what prevents me from obeying the Lord, from doing this, you may be surprised that it's not necessarily your carnal nature, your earthly nature, your sensual nature. It's not typically that. Our greatest sin is unbelief. Your greatest sin, my greatest sin is unbelief. Because when I believe God, that He is my provider, that He is my sustainer, that He's the one that's going to take care of me, I don't have to go after other things to look for immediate satisfaction and gratification. But I choose to believe Him. I choose to walk with Him. And when I do so, I will automatically abstain from anything that is ungodly. At this point, you may be thinking, I try to follow the Lord, but I often fail. Welcome to the club. You're in a good place. Does this mean then that I don't truly have Christ in my life and I'm not His disciple? No, we need to keep in mind that it's not about perfection, but it's about direction. It's not about perfection, but it's about direction. What is direction? Direction simply means the posture of my heart, the area of my heart, the area where my heart is leading to. Which brings us to help. Somebody say help. At this point, we all need help. Okay? We always have to present the challenging parts first before the good stuff comes. Okay, so are you still here? All right. Help. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The second gift here that I want you to note is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now quickens your mortal body. The same power, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is now residing on the inside of you and residing on the inside of me. And this is something that began in Acts chapter 2, where the disciples experienced God residing on the inside of them, giving them incredible power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's primary function, His ministry, is to elevate the Lord Jesus. And He does so by teaching us the Word of God, by teaching us God's Word. Then we're reminded of what Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit taught the disciples, and the epistles that we have. The epistles that we have in Scripture are proof that He taught them and that they got it, and give us application of how to apply what the Gospels are teaching us. So the Holy Spirit reminded them in detail, and they wrote these things down. Do you know that it was 30, 40, sometimes 50 years before the disciples began to write down the things that Jesus did with them? How would they remember 40 or 50 years afterwards? I can't recall what I had for lunch yesterday. Ask me what I preached the last time I preached. I'd have to look at my notes. I don't know. They recall things that happened decades ago. How can they do that? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did it in such a beautiful way where we have four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's not one contradiction in between any of the writers. As a matter of fact, they complement one another in a beautiful, beautiful picture. That gift is promised to us. That we have the same Jesus who was with the disciples. He's now residing on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And if we've ever received clarity from the Word of God, if ever you got revelation from the Word of God, that is the Holy Spirit. You're reading something and you don't understand what you're reading, and you say, Lord, I need you to communicate to me. I don't know what I am reading. Some time ago, I'm going through Joshua chapter 1. And I'm reading how the Lord said to him, Joshua, go and take the land. And every place that the sole of your foot is going to tread, I'm giving it to you. And I've heard of other ministries and other churches, how they, when they go and they're ready to buy a piece of land or something, they would do a prayer walk and they would march around the land like, the Lord's giving us the land, just like he did with Joshua and the people, and we're going to possess the land. And we're thinking, Lord, is that it? Could there be application there? Possibly. But is it deeper than that? And the Lord showed me something that I saw that day that I will never forget, that I've never read in a commentary or heard anyone share or minister on. And it was like a specific personal message just for me. Can I share it with you? I'm not convinced. Can I share it? All right, good. The message that I received about every place the sole of your foot touches, I will give to you, is that no matter where you go, no matter where you are at your home, in your workplace, in your church, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your community, no matter where you are, if things are good, if things are not so good, if you are there, I am giving that place to you. By virtue of you being there, you are a child of the King, and light is going to resonate from that place. It doesn't matter, Joseph, if you're thrown into the pit, I'm giving you to be the owner of that pit. It doesn't matter if you're being thrown into the prison. I'm causing you to be the Lord of that prison. And it doesn't matter if you're elevated to be the second in command in Egypt. I am causing you, wherever the sole of your foot will tread, I am giving it to you. So it doesn't matter if I'm going through a good time or a difficult time. It doesn't matter. God has given me the victory in that particular place. And I'm not there by accident. You don't work where you work by accident. You don't live where you live by accident. You don't have the family that you have by accident. Three people get my jokes. That's all right. I'm just going to keep going anyway. You are there by design. You have been brought, as the word was spoken over Esther, for such a time as this. You are here by design. Where you dwell is by design. Where you go to school is by design. Your teachers, crazy teachers, are by design. Your boss who gets on your nerves, your coworkers that poke at you, all of that is by, but I have given it to you. Where does that come from? You read the scriptures, you pray, you ask God for illumination, and as you sit and as you wait, God begins to bring you illumination. I'm praying for this church that you would become so hungry that we don't just want to hear messages or listen to podcasts, that we will want to go to the Word of God itself and say, Lord, you speak to me. You're my Father, and I am hungry. And you said that you would break bread with me. Would you break bread with me? Would you give me revelation of your love? Would you give me revelation of your peace? Would you give me revelation of your presence in my life and the purpose that you have for me? Because I need you. I don't need the pastor. I don't need the minister. I don't need the evangelist. I don't need all of that. What I need right now is I need you. And once you connect me with you, you'll show me what my role is. You'll show me what my gifting is. You'll show me how I'm supposed to function so I can be a part of the body and do something, rather than simply come and sit and listen and then leave and then come back again and sit and listen and then leave and then come back again and sit and listen, and it becomes an endless cycle of listening, 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 until we become spiritually constipated. Are we allowed to say that in church? When you're the pastor, you can say whatever you like, I guess. We become spiritually what? Constipated. The Lord wants to set you free. Finally, they're awake. Finally, they're awake. If you've ever prayed for someone, you laid hands on someone and they've received their healing, that's the Holy Spirit. If you've ever heard the gentle voice as you're talking to someone and the gentle voice says, say this, or don't say anything at all. Has that ever happened to you? That's the Holy Spirit. That is God operating through you and guiding you and navigating with you. He is God's GPS system telling you where to go and what to say and what to do at every given moment. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he needs to be invited. He doesn't steamroll your life and my life because we also have an old nature. Yes, I may be Israel, prince with God. I've been changed. But there's also a very much Jacob that's alive and well within me. That old nature doesn't die quickly. It dies very, very slowly, and it's always there in the background. And God is not going to overrule my life. He's saying, surrender to me, yield to me, give it unto me, and acknowledge me. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your... Let's start over. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own, or lean not on Jacob. Lean not on your old nature. Lean not on your own experiences. Lean not on your resources. Lean not on your friends. Lean not on your bank account. Lean not on these things. Lean on the Lord. Lean completely and wholeheartedly on the Lord. And in all, and he will, and what? And he will direct your path. He will direct your path. All of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Every moment of every day, we can speak with the Lord and be sure that he hears us because he has now taken up residence on the inside of us. We have the entirety of God's Spirit living on the inside. So then why do people say, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord? If I already have all of God, why do I say, fill me? Here's the answer why. Are you ready? Because although I may have all of God, he doesn't always have all of me. While I have all of God, and I may have committed my heart to him at one given point, he doesn't have my heart every single day. Because all we like sheep, we wander. Anybody else here in this room wander? You can have a glorious Sunday and a terrible Monday. Anybody else wander? So I come back and I say, fill me again. In other words, have all of me. I'm not looking for more of you necessarily, even though we may use that phraseology, but God understands what we're saying. He understands what we're meaning, and he understands what we want. Even if we get the words wrong, he understands the intent of the heart. All I'm saying is, God, maybe I have given you all the rooms to my heart today, but tomorrow I may lock a door or two. Why? Because there are still issues in my life. Anybody else got issues in this room? Y'all got issues, every single one of you. Y'all got issues. Issues. But the truth is, we all do. The only one who walked on water without anyone asking him to do anything was Jesus, right? Yeah, I know he granted Peter to walk on water, but he's the only perfect one. He's the only perfect one. All of us have things that we work through in our life, and he wants to give us direction, and he wants to give us instruction, he wants to bring illumination, and he wants to express his power through us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, your life means something. Your presence means something. You've been gifted and equipped with so many unique giftings and abilities that God wants to use right where you are. We need to shift our focus off of ourselves because I say, oh, no, not me. Yes, you. Absolutely you. As you take your eyes off yourself and you surrender to the Lord, and you will begin to hear these words, the Lord is with you, you mighty man or you mighty woman of valor. Valor, of strength. Who, me, Lord? Yes, you. I am the youngest and my family is the weakest and we are the last. You. Why me? Because you are the youngest and you are the weakest and your family is the one with issues. I want to use you. Oh, this is good news. I'm preaching myself happy. It's all right. It's all good. I don't mind at all. Third thing is peace, and I think we're getting to the heart of the message. here this morning. Third thing is peace. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This third gift that I want to identify this morning is the gift of peace. The disciples heard this word before on a few occasions during something we like to call the honeymoon phase. The what? The honeymoon phase. For those of us who have been married, you understand there's something called the honeymoon phase, where you first get together with your significant other and you spend those first few days, weeks, months, whatever, however long your particular scenario is. And there's the honeymoon phase where you're just so close. You're so close. And they were so close to the Lord. Anyone recall when you first gave your heart to the Lord? Any little prayer that you prayed was answered immediately. Immediately. And His presence was tangible constantly. You'd wake up in the morning, His presence is there. You put your head on the pillow at night, His presence is there. You go throughout your day, His presence is there. That's called the honeymoon stage, but it doesn't last forever. On purpose. On purpose. Why? Because He doesn't want us to rely on our feelings, our flesh. He wants to teach us to begin to live a life of faith, because it is by faith that we please God, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who believes God must believe that He is, meaning that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you still tracking with me? So they heard this during the honeymoon phase. They heard Jesus say peace in the middle of a storm. They saw him. They saw Him bring peace to those who were demon-possessed. Peace. As the dynamic of the relationship is going to get deeper, Jesus leaves them with this amazing promise. Matthew Henry puts it this way. When Christ was about to leave the world, He made His will. His soul He committed to the Father. His body He bequeathed to Joseph. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother He left in the care of John. But what about those poor disciples? What had He left for them? Silver and gold had He none. But He left them that which was infinitely better, His peace. What's that? It's peace. All of us want peace, but what is peace? The Hebrew word, of course, is shalom, which is very close to the Arabic word salam. And they greet each other as they go and as they come, shalom or salam, right? The Greek word for it is irene, or where we get the female name Irene. Irene means peace. That's the Greek version of it. Mr. Noah Webster, 1828, Noah Webster says, peace is heavenly rest, the happiness of heaven. He goes on to say, it is harmony, it is concord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. Two parties were at a distance, there was a problem between them, they now have been reconciled. What does this peace of Jesus look like? He says, it is not like what the world gives. The world tells you and me, everything has to be lined up in my circumstances in order for me to have peace. I'm not going to change. Everything around me needs to change so that I can have peace. Like tell the kids to do their homework, get the bills paid, tell my boss. You know, everything around me has to function in order for me to have peace. Or, for the sake of peace, there's a diversion created to escape the chaos. When we indulge in anything too much, we are trying to create our own sense of false peace. When we indulge in anything too much, if I watch too much television, I am avoiding my real need for real peace, and I'm trying to create a false sense of peace. When I am too much on social media, I'm trying to create my own sense. I'm hungry. I'm looking for something, and I know I'm not going to find anything at the end of this barrel. I'm not. I've been through it 1,000 times. I've been there. I've seen all the pictures. I've seen all the posts. I've seen all the memes. All of it, and it's nothing. It is empty. It is dry. It is void. Or the obsession of having fun constantly. I'm looking for a continuous form of entertainment. I need to be energized with this form of entertainment. None of these things are inherently wrong. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of connecting with people or watching a little bit of TV or whatever the case is, or trying to have some fun. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're trying to learn to golf, right? Right? Terrible. Nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun, but when I overindulge in something, that becomes a problem. Peace. peace is harmony, first and foremost, between us and God, then also between us and ourselves.
What?
Peace is harmony between us and God, and then I need to be at peace with myself. Romans 5 teaches us that we are justified by faith. We now have peace with God. Those who have committed their hearts to the Lord, those that have committed their lives to Jesus, we now have peace with God. And I know that I'm at peace with God. That brings me great comfort. And the ultimate one who matters is at peace with me because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And so that truth then ushers in an experiential kind of peace, what Philippians 4 calls the peace of God. There's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God means my relationship with Him has been reconciled and He's not holding anything against me. When I die, I'm going straight to heaven. From God's perspective, there are no issues. That needs to then translate into my life, into your life, in an experiential kind of way where I have the peace of God living on the inside of me despite the chaos that happens around me, despite the disappointments that happens around me, despite the things that are beyond my control around me. We get to experience this gradually with the smaller tests that God knows that we can handle. The things that come your way in life, the things that come my way in life, are God's way of helping us to experience this God peace, this peace of God that resides in our hearts, but He gives it to us at our level. All right? He's not going to have you go out and do something that is beyond your means. God's only going to give you a test that is at your level. It would be cruel of a teacher in the first grade to put a calculus exam in front of first graders and say, you need to pass this test. That would be cruel. It'd be cruel to put it in front of me right now. Been out of school for so long, I have no idea. 2 + 2 = 5, right? So He gives you your test, or He allows the test to happen at your level. And as you graduate, they can begin to increase with time, only for the source and the strength of giving you the peace of God, strengthening you on the inside. So every time I'm troubled or distressed, it's an opportunity to bring an issue before God and to reveal to Him those areas that require adjustments in my life. Why is that? I'm faced with a test. The test comes my way. I get bad news from the job. I get bad news from the doctor. I get bad news from school. I get bad news from somewhere. And my heart is now in chaos. That chaos shows me that there's an area that I have yet to surrender to the Lord. Don't feel bad. That's all of us. Okay? I'm just bringing out truth. All of us. Every single one of us. You're faced with that scenario. Until we get to the point where you hear the issue, you hear the problem, you hear the chaos, and you're like, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And the man who wrote that is the very same man who had his wife and daughters on the ship, and the ship was sinking as he's standing on the shore and he's seeing it sinking, and he lifts up his heart to God and the song begins to well out of him and he says, it is well with my soul. If God has allowed this to happen, then it is well. There's chaos, there's loss, there's destruction, there's damage, there's pain, there's hurt, but there's a God kind of peace that happens on the inside. That wasn't his first test. That couldn't be his first test. That is calculus style testing. Some of us are still in the first grade. So what? Let's be happy to draw within the lines. Whatever the test happens to be faithful with that. Do what God is telling you to do at this moment so we can graduate from one level to the next. Somebody say amen. To get us to the place where nothing can remove the peace of God. We can bring everything to His feet, casting all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And the Lord's peace extends even to the worst of scenarios. Even to the worst of scenarios. Verse 28, you've heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And so here in the context of peace, Jesus tells them that if they love Him, they would rejoice because He's going to heaven. their perspective should not be on what they appear to lose, but on what the departed is going to gain. It's normal and expected to feel pain and separation when a loved one passes. That is normal, and we've had many, many loved ones and our friends and families who have moved on. And many times that's a selfish kind of thing. It's a selfish kind of thing, especially if they're in the Lord. Because the unselfish loved one's God's perfect will for that other person. I'm not going to be overly sorrowful because that person is now in heaven. I'm happy for them. I'm happy. I'm rejoicing for them. The Bible says, let us not grieve as the world grieves, as those who have no hope. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I feel like this would be a good time for us to pause. We'll finish up the rest of this next time. Let's just pray for a minute. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you for the gift of love, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of love. You want us to love you. That's completely for our benefit. Thank you for that gift of love. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit. The very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in our mortal bodies right now. And thank you that you didn't just say, be peaceful, but you said, my peace I give unto you. Your peace. The kind of peace that can be in the middle of a storm and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Jesus. Jesus. The kind of peace where Peter is in prison and he is sleeping soundly. The kind of peace where Paul is on a ship and he's in perfect peace. In the middle of a storm, he's in perfect peace. Lord, I pray this morning that whatever storm any of us may be going through, that you give us the courage, that you give us the courage to confess this before you. Saying, Baba, I need you. Baba, I need you. I need you. I really, really need you. I can't do this without you. My heart is in turmoil. My heart is in chaos. I may be smiling on the outside and being polite and exchanging pleasantries with people, but on the inside, my heart is in chaos. My heart is in distress. I need you. I need you. You are more than able. As you calm the storm for the disciples, you are more than able to calm the storm within me. And to give me to trust you. To trust you. Because you remind us in your word that he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. You are faithful to complete it. You will bring it to completion. You are the potter, and I am the clay. You are the potter. We are in your hands. Shape us and mold us the way that you desire. Nothing goes unnoticed with you. Nothing goes unnoticed with you. The terrible boss at work, terrible schoolmate, the annoying neighbor, the bad doctor's report, my bank account, nothing goes unnoticed with you. How my body may be feeling at this moment, nothing goes unnoticed with you. You see it all, and you know it all. And in the middle of all of this, you extend the invitation. And you make a declaration, I've loved you with an everlasting love. In the middle of your pain, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of you waffling between Jacob and Israel, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that your love doesn't waver. Thank you that your love is consistent. Thank you that it's everlasting. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it's unconditional. I don't have to perform. I don't have to perform for you. You just love me, and I'm going to choose to rejoice in that today. I'm going to choose to rejoice in that today. I'm going to choose to receive the peace of God. I'm going to choose to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit where you have more of me. And I'm going to choose to love you because love is ultimately a choice. I'm going to choose to love you. Would you give me grace to love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength? May you have all of my devotion. As a young couple want their undivided attention from the other partner, you want our undivided attention. Give me not to look at worthless things. Give me not to be unfaithful in this relationship. Give my eyes not to wander to the right or to the left, but give me to focus into your eyes, into your eyes, into your loving eyes, into your tenderness. Oh God, thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace and your compassion. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you because you are the God of the second chance. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Church, this is an opportunity right now. The next 2, maybe 3 minutes. We're not going to go longer than that. Offer up whatever is bringing chaos into your life right now before the Lord. And do what the Apostle Peter tells us to do. Cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. He cares. He cares. He does. The enemy wants to whisper in your ears, God doesn't care. If He cared, this wouldn't be happening. The devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. God cares for you tremendously. Tremendously. Let me remind you of this verse where God says, He who touches you touches the apple of my eye. And those who are in my hand, no one can take away. What the Apostle Paul says, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh God, we want to be so deeply rooted in your love that no storm from hell, that no temptation or trial can ever cause us to waver. But we are steadfast, immovable, because we are a building built by God, and you are the builder. Cause us as the stones, the precious stones that you are putting together, to yield to you. May our hearts yield to you. May our minds yield to you. Minister to us in the deepest core of who we are, Lord God. Jesus, we want you. We need you. Holy Spirit, we want you and we need you. We invite you. Have all of me. Have more of me. Don't stop until all of it belongs to you. Every room, every crevice, every corner belongs to you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they lifted their eyes and they saw one, no one but Jesus. Lord, would you cause everything else to fade so we can just see you, just to see you. Cause our hearts to be inflamed, inflamed, passionate, passionate in love with you. What else are we going to love? What else is there to love? World is passing away and the lust thereof, but you and your word abide forever. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. 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 Take this time between you and the Lord. Make it right. If you need to confess something, make it right with Him now. If you need help, ask Him for help. If you need a healing, ask Him for healing. As we were praying earlier this morning, I shared with the worship team. I said, I got this impression as we were praying that some will walk in today with shackles, with chains, like actual chains around their around their bodies, and these chains are going to be broken, but not just broken, but as they hit the ground, they're going to shatter as glass would shatter and go into a gazillion pieces, never again to return over your life. That's the kind of freedom that God wants. That's the kind of freedom that God desires. I wonder if you desire that same freedom. If you do, the scripture tells us, a promise is, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Not to be shackled again the next day or the next month or the next year, but free indeed. God wants us to walk in freedom, a freedom to love him and to be loved by him, and a freedom to love others the way that he loves us. This commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved.
The things that God has given us, the only thing that we can give back is our worship. So I want us to all just stand up together and worship him with everything that we have, to be able to praise God for all that he's done, and to praise God for his love and for his grace and for the peace that he's given us. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, we give you everything.
Oh.
are prized, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we are all sinking.
And we can do that again. We are his portion.
If we are his portion, he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Hey, heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh,
surrounding it, sinking, going down, right? Going down, going down. But because Jesus came to the scene, because Jesus walked in the water and he invited Peter to walk in the water, he changed the atmosphere and they started to sink upward in his peace, in his presence, in his power, in supernatural. They came to his level. He brought them to his level. I'm gonna walk in water and I'm gonna make you walk in water. Your situation right now, what's surrounding you right now, will make you sink, going down. You're gonna go down because of your situation right now. But you know what? I'm gonna come. I'm gonna visit you. I'm gonna come to your situation and you're gonna be going up. You're gonna sink upward. I don't know if this is an expression. I just made it. You're gonna sink upward. You're gonna fly. You're gonna be in heaven right now. You're gonna be in his presence right now. And all the fear, all the anxiety, all the sin that separate you will go away, will be washed away. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He loves you so much. You know what? As we're singing this song, and we're going to sing it again, I feel like we need to sing it in the spirit. Means, listen to sing with the worship team, but allow the Holy Spirit to make a new melody, new words. Put new words in your heart. I feel the heaven is so open that chains will be broken, that you will be set free from fear. And I love it. When this happened, it happened on the sea, and all their fear went away, washed away, was washed away, and the sea will not be no longer in Revelation. The sea will be gone, and it's your fear with it. It will be gone. Hallelujah. Let's sing again. Let's worship again, and let's sing in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit, we invite you today to fill us and to flow through us today. Holy Spirit, we invite you
to wash away our fear, to wash away the storm, to wash away my chains. Wash away. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill us with your love. We invite you to fill us with your grace and mercy. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he loves us.
How he loves us so.
How we love him.
First time today, the Holy Spirit connected Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your feet will step into, I will give it to you. And Peter walking on the water. The first time the Holy Spirit connected it, and I was like, that's interesting. Now we're talking about, you know, land, heart, you know, surface, but even the water, even the supernatural. Lord, I thank you that even when my situation, it's not normal to take, it's not normal to get out of it, it's not normal to walk on the water, you make it happen. You make it happen. Even if the challenge is huge, you make it happen. Because you are God. You are God. And you love us so much. And you want to be with us every step of the way. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for today. We thank you for wonderful, wonderful rest that you give us in your presence. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the influence of this word to stay in our heart and to bring fruit into our life. In the name of Jesus, amen. May God bless you. You are dismissed. You stay.